Hey, did you see the four astronauts come back from space? That was absolutely incredible. I kind of followed their mission, and I actually teared up a little bit when they made re-entry, and I watched their press conference yesterday. I think the top three most difficult jobs in the world, number one has to be astronaut. I mean, that's an incredible job. Number two has to be something like, you know, worship leader or jet fighter pilot or something. But I'm convinced the third most toughest job in the world has to be district superintendent. And I know that for a fact because they have to deal with people like me, you know. So, but we are thrilled to have Brett and Mindy Rickey with us this morning. They have been our district superintendent couple for the last 4.5 years. Every 4 years, the district superintendent meets with me and the church board and kind of does a review of how the church is doing and how the pastor's doing, and that's going to take place after the worship service this morning. But give your attention this morning to Brett as he comes and shares the word of God with us.
Hey, it's good to be with you all today, and just honored to be here with Pastor John. In 24 years, he told me before church that he has been your pastor, and so it's my honor to serve alongside him on this good district. You know, one of the cool things that I get to do is just report on what is happening around the district to you. My wife Mindy here has been with me now. We're on our 39th year. We'll be 40 years this summer. And that's kind of the cool part. She's the better half. She goes with me on all of this stuff. So I travel. Usually I'm at a different church every weekend. And that's fun and not fun. You know, there's a lot to that. Because it's nice to have a church home. But when you don't have a church home, we're church nomads. And that, like John said, part of the hard part about this job is that you do miss the fellowship that you get in a church. So enjoy what you have here. It is an awesome thing to have one another. And today I'm going to focus on the greatness of our God, but I want to tell you a couple of stories that we've had from the last month or so from our district zone gatherings that we come and report on what's going on in our churches. And two churches in specific that are churches that you would not expect. You would think, whoa, is anything going on at that church from the outside looking in? And then from the inside, you hear the stories. And those two churches are Sweet Home and Lakeview. Lakeview Church is way down there, the farthest southeast church we have on our district. If you go to Klamath Falls and you take a left, or right, I guess, you go out there about 90 more miles, you get to Lakeview. Town of 2,000 people, and 14 years ago, the previous district superintendent, Stan Reeder, was looking to figure out what to do because they had about 8 old people in this church, and they didn't know what to do. And Pastor Stace Andrews was willing to go and work a part-time job and be a part-time pastor and take this church on. And today, it has over 45 people meeting in this little bitty box of a building. I mean, it's about as size, if you put all of their building in this side, that's all they would have. And what's cool is they have a Presbyterian church downtown. It's down to 7 older people, and they said, would you guys want to join forces with us, and we will give you our building. And then their presbytery said, well, we actually need something for it. So they're going to sell it to them for $70,000, which it's a huge facility. It's nice. And so it gives them more space, but that's not the good news. What Pastor Stace has done has been incarnational leadership. There was a young man that he met while he was driving the school bus and still being a pastor. He's full-time pastor now, finally. Now, after 13 years, he became full-time. And the church was able to support his life. And he met this kid because his mom was, I think, addicted to drugs and going to jail for it. And he brought a gun to school, I think, in a backpack or something. And he was in serious trouble. And so he was going to be placed in the foster system and sent off. And Stace knew of the situation, and Pastor Stace said, prayed about it with his wife and said, we'll take him in. And he was a tough little kid at first. And I got to tell you, at the zone meeting, here was this once 7-year-old, now he's 9, standing there. And he said, he gave his testimony with Stace. He said, I want to thank Pastor Stace for taking me in, because when he took me in, I didn't know how to read, but now I know how to read. And I feel like God wants me to be a preacher. And you think, what is God doing in the world? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's a little seed, but you plant it in the ground and it grows up big and something else. And at Sweet Home, you know, Pastor Bethany is a bivocational pastor as well. It's a small congregation, and she's just finished her doctor degree in some kind of, I can't remember the exact title of ministry. You remember what it is?
Had to do with love.
And so she's qualified to be a lot of things, but she went through the school system and said, hey, I want to help you with substitute. And they said, well, would you actually teach a class? Like, be a school teacher. So she's a grade school teacher. And the Lord has used her as a grade school teacher in her local setting. And she's just, you know, sharing Jesus' love without saying Jesus, because you can't in the schools. And she ran into a young man who's trying to set the record for the most volunteer hours that he can give. He's already given 300 volunteer hours this year. And so they gave him an award in the city of Sweet Home for being the volunteer of the year, like the hero of the year. Bethany has won the award herself before, so she went to the thing, the ceremony, and there he gave it like a speech, and he stuttered through it. Apparently, he has a deal with stuttering. But Bethany felt it would be a good idea on Easter Sunday if he would read the scripture. And she asked him, and he's like, you want me to read in front of people? Let me think about it. Came back to her the next week, said, I'll do it. And she said he made it all the way through the Easter scripture and didn't stutter one time. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, isn't it? It's a small thing. You plant it in the ground, and it grows up to be a plant where even the birds can, you know, nest in its branches. Sometimes we overlook what God is doing in the world. It's easy to complain about what's broken, about what isn't going right for us. But today I want to talk about how to praise God, because God is great, and he's on our side. And I have been, I don't know if you've ever been there, I've been stuck in complaining cycles before. Have you ever been there? Where all you see is the glass is half empty, when you forget the fact that it's half full. And you get in a cycle where you look at the news and all you see is all the brokenness. And, you know, if you get online and your algorithm is feeding you more of the same, makes you angrier and angrier, and all the noise that goes with it. And here's my big question. Can I really praise God when life's not good? Can I praise God anyway? You know, God in his power doesn't need me to praise him. He's not like a cat that needs stroked or a dog that needs petted. I saw some dogs. Dogs love it. Oh, they lean into it when you pet them. I need to praise God because it does something in me. It changes me. Doesn't necessarily change my situation. It changes me in my situation. And here's what I found. God can't resist helping a praising person. But here's what I know from reading the Old Testament. When God's people get caught in a complaining cycle, that's when God gets the angriest. Read all about him. God delivers his people from slavery. And what do they want to do? We want to go back to slavery. We had steak. We had lobster. We had all the good foods. And God was like, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to kill him now. And God says, and Moses says, wait a minute, don't kill him. I had an old friend that was a pastor. He was retired, and he was my amen corner. Kind of like John is for me today. He would be there in the congregation. We had a large congregation, and he would be, hey man, that's a attaway, brother. He would say, that's good, doc. He would say that to me. And then on the other side of the congregation, I had a lady, and she grew up in Haiti. And when they worship in Haiti, it's very loud. And so he was on this side and she was on that side. And she would stand up in the middle of my sermon if something blessed her. And she would say, "Amen, praise the Lord, Pastor, that's the way to go." And I was like, all right, I'm onto something. And so she had the gift of praise, and those two people combined were always on my side, and I loved it. And so John would say to me, "Brett, no matter what's going on in your life, you got to learn to say hallelujah anyway." And I have a hard time saying that off my tongue. Hallelujah. I have a hard time with L's. They get stuck in the back of my throat. Hallelujah. There we go. But can it be true? The Bible talks about magnifying the Lord. That's an old word for praising the Lord. When I magnify something, you know what happens? It gets bigger. You ever zoom in with your little mouse? All the words get bigger. When you magnify the Lord, He gets bigger. The problems get smaller. It's not that they go away, but the source of your strength gets bigger. So today we're going to talk about it. How to do it. And so I'm going to go quick through this chapter 9 in the book of Nehemiah. And there's going to be six reasons or six ways to praise Him. And Nehemiah 9 is a prayer prayed by God's people when they finished the job of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Okay? Now the walls of Jerusalem had broken down, had been broken down after Israel was destroyed as a nation, basically. They had been taken off into slavery. And now they're going to return, but Nehemiah led this rebuilding project. And once the wall was rebuilt in record time, it was an amazing feat. If you want to see what can be done in a small amount of time, through God's help with a great leader, look at Nehemiah the book. But chapter 9 says this. Once they get to the idea that we're going to praise the Lord, in verse 5, then the leaders of the Levites said this. May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. Now he starts with the big stuff, just like John did when he talked about, Pastor John talked about the astronauts. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserved them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. You're the Lord God. You chose Abram and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. You brought him out of where he used to live and put him in this new place. When he proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him. You made a deal. Of all the people on the earth, he made a deal with Abram to give him and his descendants the land of all of those people. I don't want to name them all. And you have done what you promised. For you are true to your word. Now look at verse 9. You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. So the first reason I can praise God anyway is because He sees me in my down times. When I read a scripture like this, I can know that God brought them through hard times, just like He has been with Mindy and I. You know, we've been married nearly 40 years. There have been a lot of times where it's been hard on us. Mindy, in her own battle with breast cancer over 10 years ago now, praise God, healed her up. And cancer, we don't call it cancer-free. I guess her doctor didn't like that term. But right now, no cancer showing, praise God. And, you know, but God was with us in all of that. We remind, He was reminding them in this prayer of their story of coming out of slavery. You know, it's like our story. We're all slaves of sin. Before Christ, no way out. Easter is a great reminder. You know, all of Holy Week is this reminder that without Jesus, all of us are without hope. You know? And Jesus heard the cries of humanity for help. He sees all of us in our down times. If we'll look up. But our tendency is to look sideways at other people, to the government, to other leaders, to what they didn't do, and all the brokenness that's sideways. instead of looking up. All right, Lord, you're the creator of everything. You did all the good things. I'm going to praise you anyway. You see me in my down times. And look at verse 10. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that's never been forgotten. You divided the sea for your people so they could walk through on dry ground. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waters. Now we're looking here. He rescues me when I'm in over my head. You think, well, how does that work? Well, they were being chased. If you remember the story, remember out of Egypt, God's people came out of Egypt, but they ran into the Red Sea. They couldn't get through it. They were being chased by an army, chariots, swords. God's people didn't have all that. They weren't fighters. Women and children. And they go through the Red Sea on dry ground. Water on both sides. The Ten Commandments movie was on Saturday night before Easter. It always is. I don't know why. But I always remember that story when I was a little kid watching that movie, watching the wall of jello, you know, thinking there's got to be fish over there when they're going through the Red Sea. There's times in your life when you get in over your head. And the idea is that God rescues you and me. It's all over in the Bible. It happens. And we can praise God when we're facing difficult times because we don't know how, but we do know who. I don't know how, but I do know who. And that's good news. I'll tell you my story. Our first assignment to be in ministry was starting a church. And we started a church out of the church where we were going. And I was a Sunday school teacher, and I'd never been a pastor before. And so we started in a school, and I was in over my head. And we put up a banner every Sunday. I would do that. I would hammer these little stakes in. Anybody ever put fence posts in? There's a fence post hammer thing. I would do that every Sunday. I'd hammer in the fence post and I'd stretch the rubber sign. Family church meets here, you know. So I would do that. And then I would get in my car and I'd pray. And I would think, is anybody going to show up? You know, you're meeting in the school. There's no reason for people to come here. They've never been here. They don't have to come back. Like, at least here, many of you have been coming here for generations. You know where the building is. We met in the school. It was just, so I had all the anxiety. You ever been anxious about anything? Test results, you name it. He rescued me that day when he said to me, God kind of spoke to my spirit and said this, Brett, would you be willing to fail for me? I was like, well, sure. You know I would. I would fail for you. Then he was like, well, get over yourself. I was like, okay. And it took the burden off my shoulders. Sometimes God rescues us with a little word when we're quiet before him. And over he rescues us when we're in over our head if we'll ask for help. And praise him on the front end. And you don't wait to praise him when things are fixed. You praise him before the victory. It's a key thing. Because you're like, God, you're going to get me through this. And that's the third reason I can praise God anyway. Let me give you verse 12. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night so that they could find their way. Now, I can praise him because he leads me with his personal presence. Just like I was telling you. Like, his personal presence with me in the car. He leads you the same way. The other day I decided to sit quietly for 30 minutes, no words, and wait on the Lord. Just wait. No cell phone within reach. Because here's what I found. If my cell phone is within reach, it ends up open. Even when I got my Bible in my hand, if my cell phone is within reach, for whatever reason, it just jumps into my hands. Anybody? You've been to that party, right? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. In the digital age, putting everything out of my reach and sitting on the couch and saying, all right, Jesus, it's me and you. Speak. If you want to speak, I'm here to listen. I've gone on hikes. Maybe you have too. With the only purpose being to connect with God. Now, it's easy to see nature in Oregon, right? And to see the hand of Almighty God. But sometimes on that walk, if you're listening, God will speak to you. He led them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And you never know how he's going to lead you. It wasn't weird when the Lord gave me his presence when I was sitting on the couch. I don't know that he guided me into anything other than he just calmed me down in that moment. Because like you, everybody in this room faces stuff. Whether it's health stuff, financial stuff, relational stuff, all of us have stuff. And we need the calming presence of Jesus to guide us through the wind and the storms of life. And he does. Look at verse 13. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. Now, Mount Sinai is where Moses got the Ten Commandments. That's where he got the law. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just and decrees and commands that were good. You instructed them concerning Holy Sabbath, and you commanded them through Moses your servant to obey all your commands, decrees, and instructions. You know, this is good news. When God gives us his word, it's not to ruin our fun. One of the first things that, I learned early on, my mom was very good at being a permissive parent to a degree. She would say, Brett, stay in the yard. And I ended up writing a book called Stay in the Yard. This is not a plug. I'm not bragging on any of that. It just kind of came to mind while I'm talking. But when you know, the Lord and his laws for us are like stay in the yard. It doesn't cover every situation. It's just like his boundaries for our behavior are for our own good. So that he can bless us in our life. And the Lord has led us early on in our marriage. Mindy and I had an opportunity to pursue a job. Mindy is a CPA. And so she had a great opportunity to go to Dallas. We were living in Oklahoma City at the time. And it was a financial opportunity. And at that moment, we were both working in corporate jobs. And it was like, I can get the same job in Dallas that I had in Oklahoma City. But she could get a great raise. And it was, seemed like an upwardly mobile place to go. And we were like, well, let's do that. And we talked to my sister-in-law and my brother, who's a pastor. He was just here. He just left this morning. And she told Mindy, she said, have you searched God's word for some promises? And Mindy said, no, we have not. And so Mindy got into God's word for some words of wisdom. And the Lord gave us some words of wisdom, which were, don't go. It was real clear. Now, some people get down on using the Bible as a tarot card or something, and that's not what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about open the Bible, point and shoot, you know. Not that. It was the Lord directing our steps through his word. And you know, 6 months later, the job that she pursued or would have pursued, the company folded up and it went away. And we would have gone down there and been stuck in a foreign land. And God knew before we did that that was a bad idea. And we thank him for his leadership in our life. So we praise God anyway. Sometimes we praise God for a no. That's a Garth Brooks song. I thank God for unanswered prayers, you know. That's a good song, isn't it? All right, the fourth reason I can praise God, his eternal life, is he guides us with that. The man praying this prayer was saying, God, you give us words to live by. Now, a lot of people think God's trying to ruin our fun, but he isn't. His word is what guides us every step of the way. Recently, I had my headphones on, my little Bluetooth headphones. They were iPhone headphones. And I put my coffee back in the microwave because it was not hot enough. Because I work on my kitchen table as my desk. Mindy's got the office and I got the kitchen table. That's how we do it. We both work from home. And when I pushed the microwave, all of a sudden my headphones started messing up. Because there's frequencies from the microwave that disturb Bluetooth. Did you know that? I didn't know that until that moment. You know, there's a lot going on in the world that cut through God's connection with us. It takes intentionality in our word, in our world, to hear God's eternal words. There's so much noise out there cutting through. And here's the truth. God's word is what shapes our beliefs. Our beliefs change our behaviors. That's big. God's word shapes our beliefs. Our beliefs are what change our behaviors. So, if you tell somebody, don't do that, it's not good for you. You ever tell your kid that? They look at you and go, and they do it anyway? They don't believe it's bad for them. Just because you said don't do that, but then they do it and they get hurt, now they believe it. Right? For their own life, right? They understand it's not good. So our beliefs change their behavior. Let me keep reading. Verse 15. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to give them. So the fifth reason I can praise God anyway is because He keeps me fed. That's just a simple one right there. We're in America, the breadbasket, you know, the world right here. But it sure is nice that the Lord takes care of every one of our needs. And I don't need to belabor that point. I can tell you from my personal experience, this is true. I grew up in a parsonage. My dad never made a ton of money. But I know that God always took care of every one of our needs. And my mom, when she was facing hard times, would write a check. Well, she always wrote checks for church. She would tithe, you know. Pastors tithe, by the way. Did you know that? They give 10% of their income to the Lord. So she would sit down on the kitchen table, and she'd wait till I was in the room, and she would write her tithe check. That's how my mom taught me how to tithe. She didn't tell me. She showed me. One time we were experiencing financial difficulty. I knew that because we were drinking powdered milk. And if you ever drank powdered milk, you know the taste. It's different. Yeah. Not as good as real milk. No. Been there, done that, right? So I looked at what Mom was writing on the checkbook, and it was twice as much as normal. And she wrote in the note, double tithe. I said, Mom, what are you doing? We don't have food in the refrigerator. She said, God will provide. I'm taking Him at His word. And He said, test me in this. And I was like, okay. You know, because I got two pair of jeans. One in the fall, one in the winter for school. That was it. I mean, one pair of shoes lasted me the whole year. So I know, I was thankful for that. And they were the kind that, they were the cheap kind at the back of Walmart on clearance. That's the kind of stuff I had. So, before the ink was dry on that check, there was a knock on our door, and I heard gravel peeling out from our driveway, and there were five baskets, or just sacks of food on our front porch. God will provide. I learned that He keeps me fed. This is good news. Let me keep going. Verse 16. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn. He's still praying. They paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey. And they didn't remember your miracles. So they started complaining, you know. you'd done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to slavery in Egypt. But you're a God of forgiveness. I'm glad of that. Gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and rich in unfailing love, you didn't abandon them even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They committed terrible blasphemies. But in your great mercy, you didn't abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You hear what's going on? Even though they were knuckleheads, God was still good to them. I'm thankful that God's still good to me. Verse 20, you sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes didn't wear out, and their feet didn't swell. Praise God. So the last thing I can praise God for is He forgives and sustains me because of His great mercy. Amen. I love that. St. Augustine, the 4th century Christian theologian, said, a Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. Amen. That's us. We are the people that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our homes, we can praise the Lord. We can always find a reason to give God praise. And when you stop it is when the Lord says, I'm going to stop blessing that person because they can't see what's going on. In fact, that's when they're going to experience the most pain until they finally look up and give me the praise I'm due, because a person that can't praise God can't see the forest for the trees. They're missing the good things of God. And when you praise God, it's like a cascade. You find more reasons to praise Him. It's just like going blackberry hunting, you know? You guys know? When it's blackberry season, August, whenever it is, July, late July, and you find one, and all of a sudden, as soon as you see one that's perfect, you look back there and there's like 12 more behind it. And that's the way it is when you praise the Lord. Amen. Praise follows praise follows praise. And here's what is cool. People around you will pick up on it. They'll go, you know what? I forgot about that. I need to praise the Lord too. Because just like complaining is catchy, praise is catchy. And when you praise, it's like fertilizer for God to do something new in your environment. And as I'm just going to end with this prayer. And I'm going to call, and I want you to respond with the words, yes, I praise Him. All right? Here's what we're going to do. It's a call and response. So I'm going to say, I praise Him for something. You're going to say, yes, I praise Him. Ready? I praise Him for His great mercy. Yes, I praise Him. I praise Him because He keeps me fed. I praise Him because He guides me with His Word and His personal presence.
Yes, I
praise Him because He rescues me when I'm in over my head. I praise Him as He sees me in my downtime, and He's here right now.
Yes, I praise Him.
Would you bow your heads with me? If you've wandered away from the Father and begun to live life by your own rules, our God is merciful and He sees you. He forgives and sustains if you'll ask right now. If you've wandered, just ask Him. Say, Father, would you forgive me? I want to wander back on your path now. Will you thank Him for His mercy in your life? Even when you've not been altogether thankful, even when sometimes you just haven't seen what He's doing in your life, would you begin to think, God, show me what I need to be praising You for? And in your own heart, will you commit to time in His Word so that you can figure out what to do in your life? Father, this is a good bunch of people. There's so much potential. There's so many mustard seeds available right here with these lives that can be planted in the soil of your love. And your kingdom can break forth like the dawn. So, Lord, we're going to give you today. And we're going to ask you that you create in this church a praising people. Not only praising in song, but praising in lifestyle and praising in word and deed. And as we go from this place, Lord Jesus, may our lives reflect the God that we serve, a God who is good, a God who is full of mercy and love, a God who speaks well in a world that wants to just focus on negative. May we magnify the Lord together as a praising people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen.